Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm constipated, Darren! Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation, live and uncensored for the first time ever. We are leaving the safety of our pre-recorded bubble and going out on the airwaves as I speak to you. It's going out live right now. It's very exciting, very daunting, but thankfully I have some brilliant guests in the studio to help me navigate these new waters. We've got the brilliant Leah Davis, will be my co-host, joining us in just a moment. We have a chat with the brilliant Eugene Merman, an American comedian of much acclaim, coming over to the UK to do some Soho Theatre dates, and a returning guest, Abigail Eicherman, will be joining us later in the show. As we always do, we go into the news this week, which is... Has it been fun? It's been funner than previous weeks, I will say that. Less nuclear war and sort of impending doom, but it's still not the greatest. I'm focusing mainly on the high street this week, and this headline that caught my eye, not from the high street, before we head there, we head to the Love Island contestant, former Love Island contestant, Ollie Williams, who has announced his political candidacy for Reform UK. Now, Ollie Williams was on the Winter Love Island, which, much like the Winter Olympics, is less popular and full of less attractive competitors. Not to disparage all Winter Olympians, of course. Curlers obviously fit as fuck. Ollie will become the de facto most attractive Reform politician, though, if he does succeed, as he has yet to suffer the Ark of Covenant face-melting that the likes of Farage and Lee Anderson have. Ollie controversially left the island 3 days into his series, claiming he still loved a girl back home. She's an exchange student. You wouldn't know her. Conveniently, his exit coincided with a slew of negative press over passion for hunting and killing animals. He clearly thought the producers meant something different when they said they'd be shooting in South Africa. Now, we do finally at last head to the high street, which is disappearing, decimated before our very eyes, and we start with a news story very close to my heart, Pizza Hut, very close literally to my heart, my coronary arteries clogged up by Pizza Hut. I'm a big fan of the Hut. I am a Hut slut, you might say, and the Glenshire Group in Scotland, which runs 22 Pizza Hut delivery outlets, has been served with a grievance by the Unite Union on behalf of drivers who have claimed they're having their wages stolen by the group. Very sad news, especially because we are losing Pizza Huts at a monumental rate. I don't know if you've noticed, the high street Pizza Hut is disappearing. The days of wandering into town for a buffet are behind us. They're gone, they're going, there's just husks, corpses of Pizza Huts left on the high street. Maybe you can see the sun-bleached P's and the H's, just a memory of what once was. I blame the government. I think the government should step in to save Pizza Hut, as much as they have Thames Water and other big companies. I think if they don't, they will have blood on their hands. You know, in the 1980s, Margaret Thatcher closed the steel factories, and now Keir Starmer is closing the ice cream factories. Please save Pizza Hut. Just as W.H. Smith has been saved this week. I don't know if you see, W.H. Smith is disappearing from our high streets, but it will return under a new name. Its new owners will rename the shop T.G. Jones. Yes, genuinely, that is the actual new name, not the legally acceptable fictional W.H. Smiths in a BBC drama. What a renaming meeting that must have been, right? Oh, what's the second most popular surname? Jones. Okay, that'll do. The letters? Yeah, just shift him around the alphabet, one or two, that'll be fine. So yes, T.G. Jones will be returning to the high street in place of W.H. Smith, and thank God you can still buy £5 Haribo packets and browse the Richard and Judy book club. Although I suppose it's not so hard to imagine W.H. Smith closing. There's only so many copies of Atomic Habits and Rich Osman that people can buy. And a much bigger giant on the high street, Primark, is under fire as the CEO, Paul Marchant, has resigned following allegations of inappropriate behaviour. So goodness knows what that's going to do to Primark's stock. Primark is actually an Irish company. I don't know if many people know this. Originally founded in Ireland under the name Pennies, of course named for the wages of their sweatshop workers. But this isn't all high streets and Love Island. We also have some serious political news. The news that Marine Le Pen has been banned from running for presidential election in France. The far-right leader was caught embezzling EU funds and has been banned for 5 years, which means she cannot run in the 2027 presidential election. And I've got a pretty serious, pretty Radio 4 hot take for you here. This is a screenshot from the BBC website profiling Marine Le Pen. It says, Marine Le Pen is a lawyer and politician. However, bit of a typo, they've not put a space in between two crucial words, and it just reads Marine Lupinus. Pretty good stuff. That's pretty fun, highfalutin intellectual stuff here at Pulse of the Nation. And we end every monologue, as we do each week, with a parking story, with the news in Hereford that over 1,600 people paid over £5,500 for a free afternoon of parking. So this was a scheme run by Hereford Council to offer free parking, encourage people into the town, but due to lack of signage and the fact that the machines and the Ringo app were still working, over 1,600 people paid erroneously for the parking. And let me tell you, I would rather have a £60, £100 parking fine than waste £2.70 unnecessarily on parking. Now, maybe that makes me mad, but that is infuriating. Check the signage, people. Do not give them a penny more than is deserved. I cannot stand this story. It boils my blood. And maybe, hopefully, my co-host this week can calm me down. Hello, Leah Davis.
That was incredible. I could listen to you do that all day long. I feel like you
Thank
are my,
you.
My inner monologue. That was beautiful.
Oh, I appreciate that greatly. Have you ever paid for something that you didn't need to? Is there a sort of rage that boils up inside you
That is so on the nose. I feel like every day I pay for stuff I don't need to. TFL every
yes,
night.
Yeah.
I was actually drifting off to sleep last night, and then my phone buzzed, and it was the little
the 1 a.m.
1 a.m. We've taken a tenner, by the way. I don't even remember using.
How
the
does
tube,
it? I know. What does this happen? You just walk past a bus, and it charges you £1.75. What is
exactly. And I'm not really owed free transport necessarily, but it just hurts.
No, I think you should be given free transport.
The notification.
Yeah.
I didn't love that, you know.
That is the worst. It's because I understand paying for the TFL, but when you're drifting off to sleep and they're just like bam, slap around the face. That
exactly.
Is too much.
The anti Santa Claus is actually brutal.
The anti Santa Claus.
It's okay.
But yeah, how are you? How have you been this week?
I'm great. I'm much worse off for hearing about Pizza Hut.
I know, yes, very sad about that one. But I think the Pizza Hut delivery, which is a separate entity to Pizza Hut restaurants, are doing okay.
Okay, great.
But it's just those sit-downs, childhood ice cream factory buffet restaurants that we're losing.
Yes, yeah. Smarties on the ice cream.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
But not quite Smarties.
Yes.
Slightly, they're just millimetres off being Smarties. Yeah, yeah.
Just the colour is just a little faded. It's all pastel colours instead of...
How are they sun-faded? They're indoors. Surely you're refreshing these.
Exactly. But yeah, that's really upset me. So, you know, fingers crossed them, they can get a little bailout. That would be great. But, you know, also...
I don't know if you remember this. In 2008, because they've obviously been trying to innovate and keep customers in their shops. In 2008, they rebranded as Pasta Hut.
They did!
To promote their pasta ranges.
And I think we all thought it was a 1st of April, April Fool's kind of thing. And
but
then
no, they
it
committed
was
like,
to no, it,
yeah.
No, we don't. No, it didn't really pay off.
It didn't. Well, the baffling thing is, you're like, so the scheme was, it's Pasta Hut because our pasta is good as our pizzas. Mm. Here are the pasta options of Pizza Hut. Red, white. That is it. What do you mean?
The Italians furious, obviously.
Yeah, it's definitely not an Italian option.
Absolutely not.
Maybe that's what they need to do, sort of go down a more authentic Italian
route.
Yeah,
can you imagine? That would really not be, that would not be cute at all, would it? Can you actually imagine? If they would make all of the servers like put on an Italian accent, wouldn't they? It would just be, it would be so naff. Bless their
that's
hearts.
Because I will often go to a Pizza Hut buffet if I'm, you know, gigging somewhere over the weekend.
Nice.
It's a great cheap lunch. You can sit there for as long as you like. And often, you know, it's in the north of England, it's in Wakefield, it's in Dudley. These people should not be doing Italian accents. They shouldn't be doing their own accents. Absolutely, do not go for an authentic Italian experience.
Criminal.
To save Pizza Hut. Yeah. Now, this is not your first radio rodeo.
You are
a host on Capital Extra.
Uh-huh,
and let me get this right. Monday to Thursday, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yep.
Graveyard
exactly
shift.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then very polar opposite, mm-hmm. Sunday afternoon, 1 till 4.
Sunday afternoon is like a walk in the park.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I can imagine.
The sun's out. This is great. Whereas, stumbling home sort of 2 a.m. in the week is slightly more tricky. But then I love a late night listener.
Yeah.
You know, late night listeners are loyal. They're good company, mm-hmm. and I feel like we have a little rapport, you know. So whereas a Sunday listener is quite casual, they drop in, they drop out, they've got stuff on. But a late night listener is committed.
I feel that whenever I am listening to radio, and it's obviously, you know, driving back from a gig or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
Once you get past 10 p.m., all of a sudden it's people's life stories.
Oh yeah.
Midday it's like, I'm just making some toast and pottering around the garden. 10 p.m. it's like, actually me and my wife broke up, but we're going through hard times at the moment. It's
for real.
You really get the good stuff.
Can you please play some Drake?
Like, <that's> yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that is what is going to get you through this heartbreak.
Do you obviously, Sunday, 1 to 4 p.m., mm-hmm. you are competing with the goddess, Elaine Page. Elaine Page on Sunday.
Of course.
Do you think you have a similar audience? Are you competing?
I think we have the same audience, without doubt. The pages, I'm stealing the pages every Sunday. No, I don't think there's much of a crossover. I think Elaine Page's crown is safe.
Fair.
I will be honest.
Well, I think she's in an entirely, you know, she's doing her musical theatre thing, yeah, making her cheesy jokes.
Slightly different lane.
You're doing your own thing. It's great. But this is very unusual for you, perhaps, because you can swear. This is uncensored radio.
Oh, my God, I still don't believe you. Yeah. I think you might be winding me up. There's no way.
You can do a swear.
I'm going to keep it twat.
That's amazing. I mean,
I'm going to keep it moderate because I'm still panicking.
The theme tune of this radio literally had fuck and wanker in it. I don't know if you heard that. Yeah,
I literally did. And I was like, this is fantastic. I love it here.
Yeah, it must go against your gut instincts.
Exactly.
Now, I talked about Love Island in the start of the show, but you were actually a writer on another sort of sexy island-based dating show.
Yes.
Too Hot to Handle.
Yes.
How was that?
So sexy. Yeah. It is just like, it is actually unbelievable to watch them. And truly, their greatest struggle in life is not making out with each other. And I just think, God, what a blessing that must be. Just being like, I'm so attractive. I am so conventionally beautiful that people are struggling. They're losing money because they want to make out with me so bad.
Yeah, and I just think, the concept of, if you've not seen Too Hot to Handle, do you know what? I don't really watch dating shows. I actually got into lockdown, I got into Too Hot to Handle. Maybe because I fancied Harry Jowell, so let's not get into it. But the point is, the concept is they have to be on the island and be like entirely celibate.
Yep.
A kiss or hand stuff or even, God forbid, sex loses money off the prize pot at the end.
Exactly.
So yeah, you are giving up money.
Cameras everywhere. They're watched by like this sort of automated cone that sort of does the voiced rules for them.
Is it Desiree Birch? Yeah.
Desiree Birch does the voiceover, yeah. And then the cone is like some staunch British woman, like Margaret Thatcher is in the cone telling them not to touch each other's bits. And it's just, it's fascinating because I'm like, wow, you guys are so gorgeous. That's a very unique problem to have. It's not really a problem I've sort of stumbled across that often in my life.
Everyone, please stop trying to have sex with me. I'm trying to win £100,000 here. Yeah.
It's beautiful. And they're it really gets them down as well. Like, they really are struggling. And I'm like, you're just like appropriating married culture. Do you know what I mean? They're just like, oh, God, I can't believe we can't have sex. There's married couples all at home just like, I'll be all right. Yeah, 3 weeks, fine.
Oh, amazing. So this is a broadly newsy show. Mm-hmm. We're going to head into a break in a minute. I'll have a brilliant Eugene Merman. Before we head into the break, I wanted to ask, are you a newsy person? Do you follow the news?
I would say I'm relatively newsy, but almost all of the information you just shared with me in the opening was all brand new information to me, which I'm really ashamed of because I thought I was a keen radio listener. I thought I kept my ear to the ground. But apparently not.
But then I think I specifically go down the route of niche stories that are easy to write jokes about.
Okay.
Because it's very hard. Because honestly, I load up BBC News. It's death, missing.
Misery.
Abuse. It's just like, so I can't really go down those routes. So I have to be like, what's happening with W.H. Smith? That sort of, So I think Marine Le Pen is the most mainstream news we have this week.
Yes.
Which is,
I mean, it feels fantastic, but it's also better the devil, right? Because as soon as she...
Someone's
if she can't go for that next election, it's just going to be some other horror story. Like, we're very used to that blonde bob. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have seen that face. We know her story. We know her spiel.
Exactly.
But
I wonder whether people in 1930 were going, well, we know that moustache, you know? At least it's familiar.
Exactly. A familiar fascist is still something. It's better than an unfamiliar fascist. So, it's going to be an interesting... I mean... I don't know how France is going to cope without her. It's actually fascinating to me. And when I sort of heard that it was embezzlement as well, as someone who knows very little about anything financial, I was like, there's no way they're going to nail her for that. There's no way. People get away with embezzlement all the time.
Yeah.
But actually, it must have been a whole lot.
I think as well they were really like airtight because I saw somebody from Italy commenting like, oh, if you steal money in Italy, they just give you higher government positions. So she's gone. And if you're ever thinking that, this is a very intellectual, sort of well-informed take, I'd like to remind you just this one BBC News quote, Marine Le Penis. Pretty good fun. We'll be back right after the break where I'll be talking to the brilliant Eugene Merman.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Joining me down the line, a legend of the American comedy scene, coming over to the UK for a rare appearance at the Soho Theatre, 15th to the 18th of April. It's the brilliant Eugene Merman. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm at home. In Massachusetts, the United States.
Amazing. Yes, I see in your Soho bio it says he lives somewhere in Massachusetts. A sort of mystery.
It's more that you wouldn't No, the town.
Is that what I see, like a niche rural? How much? Because
it's not that rural. It's just that, yeah, it's near Boston.
Right, right. Fair enough. Nice. Because obviously you're coming over to London, and I read in the show description you've got a love, sort of a long-standing loving relationship with London. But have you explored much more of the UK?
Yeah, well, I toured with Concords throughout, so I've been to Birmingham and Liverpool and Leeds and a bunch of places.
Nice.
Yeah.
But London, your favorite?
I mean, it's the place I've been to the most by far. I guess, but not because I know that for sure.
Yeah,
simply,
yeah.
I enjoy London.
That's the most
but if
explored.
I go to Bath and I'm like, oh, Bath is much better. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
But yes, I like London a lot.
Lovely stuff. And you're coming over for Soho Theatre for an evening of whimsy and mild grievances, which I think cuts right to the heart of what you do. What an amazing title. Can you tell us a bit about the show? What can we expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of stand-up. You know, I haven't put anything out in really, you know, my last special was about 10 years ago, and then I made a documentary, you know, 8 or so years ago. But I haven't done stand-up special in a while, so a lot of it is the stand-up sort of that I've been writing over the last 10 years. A lot of bits, a lot of things where I hold up pieces of paper, a handful of letters, and a lot of stories and jokes and stuff.
Amazing. I feel like you are, because we talk about parking quite a lot in the show. I'm very passionate about appealing parking tickets. I know you have a similar sort of vein of justice and whimsy in your reply. I think the British audiences will really connect with that. Have you had any sort of British injustices that you've had to fight?
You know, no, I don't. I don't think in the same very mild scale as I did. Oh, you know, I did have an Irish injustice that I will be talking about.
Oh, amazing. I'm very excited.
About a rental car company.
Oh, my God. Fighting Enterprise at the moment. How a scratch on a van can cost £2,000, I do not know. I'm excited to hear about this rental dispute.
So, yeah, it's funny. At first I was like, no, but I do. I have a broad European not specifically UK, but it'll be discussed.
Nice. Oh, lovely stuff. And obviously, I follow your Instagram. I know you're a keen cook and you like to make lovely meals. I saw your tempura recently. What are your meal plans over in the UK? Are there any restaurants or places you're particularly excited to go to?
I'm excited to, because it's not for several weeks. I have had a few friends recommend places. I don't remember them offhand. And, you know, I do love Dishoom.
A classic, yeah.
To go there. My wife got me a cookbook of theirs for Christmas. But yeah, I'm excited to explore, but I don't have a specific plan.
But yeah, nice. I'm glad you're looking forward to it. You've obviously done so much in your career, lots of voice acting, obviously the long-lasting Bob's Burgers. But I also noticed you've voiced a lot of foods. I don't know if you've spotted this pattern in your career. You've voiced Butternut Squash on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Burger in Apple and Onion, and you were apparently, according to Wikipedia, a spokes potato for the Food Network.
That was for a day, and I was dressed in a potato costume, so I wouldn't say that I voiced it. I was the potato.
You embodied, yeah.
I don't know if that, I might have a VHS tape somewhere of me as a potato. Yeah, I guess three constitutes a lot, meaning that's more food than maybe most people. It's really the third one that puts it over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yes. You know, work is work.
Work is well. That's a good ethos. That's why I'm here doing this radio show. No, I also enjoy it and get to speak to lovely people like you.
And I enjoy being a squash on John's show.
Yeah, I am. So we are sort of a very vaguely newsy show. We talk about sort of British news and stuff. Do you have a handle on British news? Do you know what's happening over here?
I think the accurate answer would be no. And then who knows? Maybe you'll say something and I'll be like, oh, I did hear about that, but. I'm not up on British news, but tell me and we'll find out if I'm wrong.
I mean, well, I have some headlines here. So these are sort of fill-in-the-blank headlines. I'm going to read you a headline from the news, and you can fill in the blank for me with any suggestion you like. Bowl of blank appears in street again. So this is pretty high stakes, you know, big stuff over in the UK. Bowl of blank appears in street again. So what notable bowl of things has been spotted in the UK streets?
It's hard to know. That's worth reporting. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell if it's as simple as oatmeal or as sad as something from a human.
Oh, my goodness.
So I don't know. I don't know. Is it mushy peas?
That's a good guess. That's a very on-brand guess for the UK. But it was actually a bowl of peeled bananas. This is a monthly, this is why it makes the news, is every month in Beeston, which is in the north of England, a bowl of peeled bananas appears on the same corner of the street and then disappears. And no one sees
it. Disappears because someone just takes it?
I think the same person who places it, I was about to call them a vandal, but it's not really vandalism, is it? Yeah.
Not exactly. I mean, when I hear a story like that, I think things must be okay in England.
Yeah.
Think because if that's being reported, that sounds like stabbings are down.
You're considering there's a 24-hour news cycle with everything happening at once. The fact that bananas are grabbing our attention, things are broadly okay. This next headline actually isn't from the UK. It's from the Netherlands, but it was a little think piece in BBC Food that I saw. This baffling Dutch snack of buttered bread and blank is eaten over 750,000 times a day. So I don't know if you've ever been to the Netherlands, but this is apparently a very popular snack in the Netherlands, which is buttered bread covered in blank. What do you think the Dutch are enjoying?
I could have known this, some sort of hearty spread.
Hearty's bread. It was opposite of Hearty's spread, actually. Chocolate sprinkles is the number one.
I was thinking sprinkles, but that's, yeah.
It's Hagel's
flag. I mean, that sounds good. That sounds like they figured something out. The truth is, if it's probably a little cold there, have some chocolate.
Yeah. Apparently, they get through 14,000 tons of chocolate sprinkles a year. Just for reference, the UK gets through 25 tons of ketamine every year. So that's quite a comparison.
Those are the two ways to cheer yourself up.
Yeah, ketamine and chocolate sprinkles. Maybe that's what they should introduce as a sort of spin-off of the UK market, a sort of ket sprinkle.
They should slowly replace ketamine with chocolate sprinkles until everyone is off of ketamine, except for those who absolutely need it.
Well, then not only are we covering the news, we're solving the news. We've got world solutions here. Look, Eugene, I'm very excited to see you at Soho Theatre. An evening of whimsy and mild grievances. How do you find UK audiences? Are they good to you?
Yes. I mean, it'd be funny if I was like, they're unbearable. I go every few years to hurt myself. No, they're really fun. I love them. It's, you know, I did Edinburgh a long time ago, and then I've toured a few times with Concords in the UK, and it's been lovely. And I've done Soho Theatre, so I'm just very excited to return and spend time in London. And a few years ago I just came with my family for fun, and didn't do shows, but I'm excited to come back and do shows.
Amazing. Well, I hope you enjoy Soho Theatre. Next time you're over, please let us know, and I will send you towards the places you should avoid, so you can, when you're like, oh, I go over, when you said, oh, I come every few years to hurt myself, that is the UK comedy circuit. There are a few towns and counties that I will always go back to, just to remind myself of why I prefer other places. Yeah.
So I've had a lovely time, meaning I've performed in many of the cities and it's been great.
Nice. Okay. Well, I will spare you the pains of Kent and Guildford. Yes. But and I look forward to seeing you on the 15th to the 18th of April at Soho Theatre. Eugene Merman, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
The brilliant Eugene Merman there, star of Bob's Burgers, Flight of the Conchords, John Oliver, Cartoon Network, and so much more. Very exciting to have him on the show. And even more exciting, we've got another guest in the studio, a returning guest, a dear friend, Abigail Shaman. Hello.
Hey, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What I like is that you've turned up promptly. You've turned up so early that we can get you in for this section as well.
Yay!
Because you walked here today.
Yeah. I live walking distance from the studio, which makes it super handy. Steps in. It's a sunny day in London. It was a great day to walk. Great day to walk to the studio, excuse me.
Dreamy. Well, I'm very glad you have walked to us. You obviously have your tour coming up, Legally Cheeky.
Yes.
I've got your dates here. And interestingly, I've never seen this before. You've listed them in alphabetical order as opposed to date order.
Yes. So this was a suggestion by Beck Hill. Mm-hmm. And at first I was very resistant to it, but the more I thought about it, it made sense. Because if you see a poster on a wall of a comedian that you or a band that you want to see at that venue, you don't go, oh, are they going to be there April 10th? And look at the date first.
Yeah.
You look at when they're going to be in that town. So I put it alphabetically as opposed to date order, because you'd go, oh, when is she going to be in London? When it, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was controversial. Some of the venues were like, what? I'm going to Pocklington first, and it's at the bottom, because alphabetically that's how that works.
Sure.
And,
yeah. Sure.
And Pocklington Arts Center was like, people might think your show's over if it's at the end. And I was like, no, I think they'll read it. It'll be fine. It'll be okay.
Well, here they are in alphabetical order: Bath, Birmingham, Brighton, Bristol, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Liverpool, London, Manchester, Norwich, Oxford, and as just mentioned, Pocklington.
Yes.
Yes, a lovely run of shows. And you had a tour warm-up yesterday at Top Secret.
Yes.
How did that go?
Yes, I had a tour warm-up. It went really well. It was very fun. There was a woman in the audience who apparently has wanted to see me for years.
Oh.
We had a little interaction. It was really cute. And I was like, and you came all the way to see me today? And she's like, only from Milton Keynes. And I was like, I wouldn't go to Milton Keynes to see someone.
Yeah.
I was so touched. So yeah, it really put a spring in my step. I think the show's in a good place, and it, like I said, it kicks off April 10th. I'm not sure if I said that yet.
Yes, 10th of April in Pocklington Arts Centre. Yeah. It's interesting. There's actually a running theme. This is the maybe third or fourth episode where we slagged off Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
And I know you weren't slagging it off, but I would like to take this opportunity to slag it off. Obviously, you have a national listenership at Capital Extra. I don't want you to insult your listeners, but have you been to Milton Keynes?
I actually haven't, and it may have been on purpose.
Yeah, I there's nothing there. It's roundabouts and industrial estates.
Roundabouts is what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean... No, it's a nothing city. It's built post-war, and I just think that they're trying to create something that's not there.
I love that, because it's a new city. Everyone's like, it's not really a city. It was built post-war, where it's like, so you mean it's as old as every town I've ever been in America?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you guys are like, listen, it's not even 800 years old, so
yeah, yeah.
What could it possibly
don't
offer culturally?
Yeah. Well, I'm really, like, because I'm from Salisbury.
Okay.
So, like, you know, we've got a pub that's, like, from the 1400s, the 1200s.
Yeah.
Milton Keynes, 1950s.
Where's
get out of here.
Where's your cathedral, Milton Keynes?
Exactly. Where's your cathedral? Thank you very much. Are you from around Wiltshire?
Yeah, I'm West Country as well.
I thought
yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
This is it. We've got heritage.
Yeah.
We don't have roundabouts and Pizza Huts. No.
It's amazing. I love seeing that you're going to Bath on my birthday, actually.
Oh, what a birthday
present.
And Bath
is basically my hometown. That's very exciting.
Cool.
You're going to have a great show in Bath. Love Bath.
Yeah, I said Jester's. That's a really... Have you been there yet?
I haven't been there yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's a new club.
Yeah.
Pretty new in Bath, called Jester's Comedy Club. And
nice.
I'm very excited. I literally saw them on TikTok. Or like, you know, an Instagram reel being like, we're setting up a club. And I was like, that looks like a nice place. And I just emailed the guy and I was like, hey, Sam, can I come and do my tour show there? And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem.
So, yeah. It is. I played at the end of last year. It's a lovely space. Mm-hmm. You can have a lovely time. Bath, that's on the 22nd of May. Otherwise, go to abergoliath.com for all the other dates. And speaking of heading to across the localities of the UK, we head now into the Facebook forums as we do. We start in Rolleston with this warning. This cat in a tie chased and hissed me out of my own garden. Could the owner please deal with it? So what we've got here is a ginger tie in a ginger cat, in a sort of yellow and black Hogwarts tie.
Mm-hmm.
Would you find this intimidating in the streets, Leah?
Absolutely, that cat means business. I mean, cats already for me quite intimidating.
Really?
And then to see it in business. Where I just think, oh my word, this cat is a CEO. This cat has places to be. This cat has far more ownership of the path than me. And I should probably let it go. And it would be right to hiss at me. It has its life together by the looks of it.
It's quite a unit as well.
Yes. Yeah.
How would you react to finding this very fancy cat in the streets?
I mean, let's be honest. I definitely wouldn't try to pet it.
No.
I never try to pet an animal I don't know. But
agreed.
I wouldn't run out of my own garden. I would, however, film it. That's what I would do. I'd be like, this cat is all dressed up. They're ready for the screen.
Uh-huh.
Time to go on Instagram. That's where cats are known best.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish there was a better photo of it, really, because I think this deserves, like, maybe it was, you know, photo day at the office or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It deserves, like, sort of blue sky background, like, getting a photo for your lanyard, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, this cat is clearly still hissing and causing problems. Like, whoever took this picture got this cat in motion, mm-hmm. heading towards its next victim, yeah. I think, is what's happening here.
Yes. Sorry. Keep an eye out for a ginger cat with a yellow and black tie. They are not friendly. We head to another Facebook forum now in Ladbroke Grove, North Kensington, so local here to London. A mystery. An anonymous participant has posted this. What are we going to do about the lady in the black car going around throwing rice and bread all over the area, feeding birds and rats? Yes. So what I love here is, first of all, what are we going to do? What are we collectively, yeah. as mm-hmm. a community, mm-hmm. going to do about this lady? But also, this lady that is feeding birds with bread and rice. I mean, you're not meant to use rice, but still, it's a sweet thing to feed the birds. But too lazy to walk and do it. She's like doing it Pizza Hut delivery style.
She's doing a drive-by feeding. That is actually 2025 at its finest, isn't it, really? Mm. I also found out yesterday, apparently you're meant to give ducks frozen peas.
Oh.
I don't know if that also goes for birds as well, but I won't tell her that because she'll just be throwing around the whole
It'll be like drive-bys, just getting frozen peas all over the place.
Exactly. But this is amazing.
I want to know if she's throwing out bread by the slice, bread by the loaf, and she's breaking it up, or is she like I picture like throwing it like a disc or like a frisbee, just mm-hmm. chucking out rice. But what are we going to do? Let's be honest. We are going to put up a sign that says, "Please don't feed the birds."
Yeah,
you have to put that
sign everywhere. It has to be a road sign because she won't see it otherwise. Yeah, maybe we need to get the Highways Agency on this and warn against drive-by bird feedings in Ladbroke Grove.
Oh, wow. Bless them.
Yeah. Oh, this one is in Thanet, which is in the aforementioned Kent. To the woman in Tesco who took the last shopping bag. So there's a shopping bag shortage in the Thanet Tesco. This woman has stolen the last one. Well, no, I'd not stolen it. Bought it fairly. And this woman is unhappy. You could see how much shopping we had in our baskets. And you only had one bunch of bananas, which, of course, by their very nature, have their own sort of carry handle.
Yeah.
We feel, so again, it's a lot of collective. Mm-hmm. We feel it's completely disrespectful to expect us to carry our weekly shop in our arms when you only had a small bunch of fruit. I've lost faith in humanity today. This is not the decorum I expect from my neighbours in Thanet. Let me tell you, I've been to Thanet. That is exactly what I expect from it. But more importantly, you're entitled to buy a bag. Maybe she needed a shopping bag for something else.
Also, I'm going to give this lady the benefit of the doubt. Whoever posted this on social media did not ask that woman if they could have the bag instead.
Yeah.
That woman probably had no, like, was just trying to buy her bananas and get out and wasn't thinking about, are there more bags? They're not in charge of the Tesco bags.
Yep. Yep.
I think this person should have been like, excuse me, we have a lot of shopping. Would you mind if we take the bag? And also, bring your own bag.
Bring your own bag.
I think, you know, and in that sense, all of them are guilty. The woman who put one bunch of bananas in a bag, silly, wasteful. This person knew they were going to do a shop, mm-hmm. wasn't just running in for a quick bunch of bananas, knew they were going to do a big shop, didn't bring their bag. Disgraceful.
Yeah, it really is. Also, because we have so many, I'm sure everyone has a sort of bag full of bags,
of
and
course.
You always forget to buy your bags for life. I'm so resentful for paying things that I don't need, as we talked about earlier in the show, that I will refuse to buy shopping bags and just, arms, pockets, whatever.
Yep.
And if it's just one shopping bag's worth of stuff, that's easy to carry.
Yeah.
Easily
I'm sorry.
Done.
Yeah,
I think this is too. Also, do we actually know they ran out of, did they ask a worker for more bags?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I just imagine there was just a lot of tutting. I don't think there was eye rolling, tutting, maybe a couple of sighs.
Yeah.
There was no way, you're so right. There's no way she said, listen, lady, I need that last bag.
Yeah.
There was no way they had a fire. Also, there is a suggestion that this woman is also with someone else on her big shop.
Yeah, we.
Someone, so, the two of you, you're fine.
You're right.
She lost her faith in humanity.
Thanet is the tutting capital of the UK, so I think that's a very fair assessment.
Yeah.
This is an interesting Facebook Marketplace post. I saw it this morning. It's in Fareham, local down to me. Costa Cup large. Now, you might be imagining a large Costa Cup for a latte. No, this is a giant Costa Cup, as you might see outside a shop front. It's a bit cracked, the lid. I'd say it's probably about 4 foot high. £100. Any questions, please ask. So many questions. questions. What questions jumped to your mind?
Did you steal the Costa cup from the front of a store? Yeah,
that's surely the number one question. Where have you got this question. Costa cup? It's also, my question is, what would you use it for?
Exactly.
Why would you want this pretty tatty, may I say, large Costa
battered,
cup?
Battered, actually.
I think 100 quid is a bit expensive for...
For a stolen, Costa
broken Costa cup. Like... I feel like as a joke, you could do something with it, you know, a weird lawn art project.
This is what
or
I'm thinking.
Pantomime Jack and the Beanstalk prop.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
But local community theatres, they don't have £100 to waste on a Costa cup.
No, you're pitching it
to the wrong places.
No. Also, you need your own van to get it. This, what this seems like is someone stole something. It's trying to make a buck. This seems like a lot of work for someone else.
Yeah.
For a piece of what is essentially junk.
I mean, it's junk.
Even my mum, who loves an upcycle, she loves a Facebook Marketplace upcycle. I don't even think she would take this on. Because, you know, she would usually put like a lick of grey paint on something and like some new knobs and it would be fine. But I don't think there's any saving this one.
No, it's done for.
Because
I suppose it could be, it's the right height for like a little side table, maybe. But yeah, I think even your mum, who I imagine to be very crafty.
Incredibly crafty.
She can't salvage this Costa cup. She'd go into the recycling with the rest of the Costa cups. This has been blanked out. There's a lot going on here. This is perhaps the most mysterious post of them all. It's from a Neighbourhood Watch news and events group. Do anyone know who you can complain about lollipop persons? I'm just going to translate that into some sort of sensible English. Does anyone know who you can complain to about lollipop persons?
And a lollipop person is...
Are you not familiar with lollipop ladies and the like?
Are they the people who help kids cross the street?
Traffic
guards. What do we call them in America? I think they're just called crossing guards.
Crossing guards.
Yeah, that
lollipop.
Feels right.
Why do you... Oh, because the...
They've got the big lollipop that says stop.
It looks like a lollipop.
Yeah, it's quite whimsical.
I never realize that. I've heard this before, but I'm not like super familiar.
Well,
like,
I love about this is something's clearly gone wrong with this lollipop person. And I like that they're using gender neutral language. I don't know whether that's sort of like progressive or whether they're trying to like keep it anonymous. Like, I don't want the lollipop person to know which lollipop person I'm talking about.
Oh, do you know what I mean?
Or is it
many
a lollipop people?
Many a lollipop people. They're from the Lollipop Guild, of course.
The Lollipop Guild, exactly.
What could you possibly want to complain about with a lollipop person? What could they have done?
Just like pushed your kid or something,
Pushed him into
like
the road.
Tripped him up as they're crossing the road.
Whacked them with the lollipop.
Yeah. Or I wonder if it's maybe from a driver point of view.
Yeah.
They're thinking, you are taking far too long crossing these little children across this road.
That's what I'm thinking.
Possibly.
I'm thinking a driver is mad that the children get to cross the road.
Yeah, that sounds about right. How dare these children occupy my road?
This is the same person who goes to Tesco's without their own shopping bag.
This is entitlement manifest. Mm-hmm. If you're a lollipop person out there, we stand with you in solidarity for most things. Actually, not all things. Well, look, if you're working to help children cross the road, we're in support of that. I will not blanket support any lollipop person. I realise there could be complete wrong-uns out there. So
I am so curious what the two comments are that happened 7 minutes after this post.
Yeah.
Like someone was like, I have information, or they're telling this person that they're a silly goose. One of the two.
A silly goose. I love that. Because obviously Leah does that radio show as well.
Yeah.
It's like completely against her instincts to swear on radio. And you've come in and been like, what a silly goose.
Silly goose.
Whereas the reality of this British Facebook forum is like, oh, fuck off, you stupid cunt. That would be it. And on those harsh words, we'll head into our break now. But we'll be back just afterwards with Abigail and Leah to talk about the headlines, fill in some blanks, and have a little bit of a debate about the high street shopping situation in the UK.
Pulse of the Nation continues next on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, yes, here we are, continuing in the studio with the brilliant Leah Davis and Abigail Ashaman, heading into some headlines now. Now, these aren't maybe headlines, maybe more bottom lines, sort of the stories you might have missed, you might not have seen, and we're going to see if you can fill in the blank from these unusual headlines, okay?
Okay.
We'll start with this one. Topical. I'll give you that. That's topical to the season, just as a little clue. Man who stole blank banned from Cambridgeshire for 3 months. Banned from a whole county, 3 months. What did this man steal?
a Costa coffee cup.
That would be a great sort of well-rounded moment. Sadly, it's not a Costa coffee cup, but it does begin with a C.
Is it the Cadbury's Cream Eggs?
It is, yes.
Oh, God, yes.
What is this?
He stole 325 cream eggs. So the little like chocolate eggs.
No, oh, I know. I would. Who is this man? Does he still have him?
Yes. No, he got apprehended.
Do we have his address? Or?
He's 26-year-old Dion de Groot, stuffed £220.50 worth of cream egg, which is 325 apparently. I don't know what that is per cream egg, but it's into his duffel bag in a Tesco Express in Peterborough. And the staff called the police, who just happened to be driving past.
Oh.
They chased him down and they were like, "What have you got in there?" And he was like, cream eggs.
Oh dear.
And then they were like putting handcuffs on him. He's like, "Careful, you're going to drop them all."
Oh, you know what? I know in the last section we were just giving a hard time to people like being weird about rules and so pedantic. But this guy, I am on board with whatever his reasoning is. You
100%.
Know, he is standing up to big chocolate.
Yeah.
He might have been taking those to the people who can't afford a cream egg on Easter. You don't know. I like them.
Exactly. It's ethically fine to steal big brands from big shops.
Exactly.
And I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
325 cream eggs. What could you even do with that?
Oh, God. You can make a whole street very happy.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the Easter bunny.
He was just trying to Easter bunny for somebody. Yeah, that would be sweet. He got a barring order from Tesco Express and all of Cambridgeshire.
Oh.
Got a sort of ASBO against him. Yeah.
I didn't know you could get like kicked out of a
shire. Yeah, shire. Yeah,
like
yeah.
A whole.
How does that work?
Wow.
Fascinating. All for the sake of 325 cream eggs. Surely that's the entire shop supply of cream eggs, right?
All of them.
So he didn't have to serve any jail time, but he has served his sentence.
I think he did serve some small jail time.
I'm going to be honest. If he's out, he should be one of those people you have on your show. I am so curious.
Special guest.
Can you get in contact with Dion de Groot, please, Kieran? Yeah. We'd love to talk to him. For me, this is the British Luigi Mangione. He is the criminal that I would like to stan. Mm-hmm. Dion de Groot.
Yeah.
325 cream eggs. That is wild. So yeah, our Easter headline there. Now this headline is an introduction of a new ice cream flavour, sticking with the sweet treats.
Okay.
But it's a bit of an interesting ice cream flavour. The company Frieda are offering blank flavoured ice cream. So in 9 months' time, you can get ice cream of this flavor. What flavor?
That's fun fact, listeners. That's how long it takes for ice cream to gestate before the ice cream mama gives birth.
9 months. 9 months, yeah. 9 months actually might be a bit of a clue.
I was going to say, what's in 9 months?
We're
in March.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's December?
No.
Wait.
It's so 9 months. The timeline is more important than the actual date.
Are you telling? Is it breast milk?
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Frieda offers not breast milk ice cream because that is not FDA approved.
Okay.
But it will have the sort of same creaminess of breast milk. Apparently, they have the flavor profile of breast milk. Yeah.
I'm upset.
Okay, everyone who's obsessed with breast milk, though, it's about like the nutrients, right? No one's doing it for the taste.
Well, apparently, it has the same sort of nutrients in as well. I mean, I'll pull up the actual story.
Put some formula in the freezer.
What?
I've accidentally Googled Frieda Kahlo. Frieda breast milk. I'm so sorry. I'm just putting this onto the station's search history. I'm so sorry. So to celebrate the release of their new 2-in-1 breast pump, that's what they've got in. It's the same kind of nutrients that make the OG version nature's superfood. We're talking omega-3s, energy boosting lactose, vitamins, iron, calcium, and of course, plenty of hydration. So there you go. That's
of course.
Would you guys try breast milk ice cream? Not like you'd go to the store and buy it, because I know neither of you would. But if you were in a scenario like, say, this, where it was like, okay, we're all gonna try some, like on the radio, just to see
for
what it's like as a bit. Would you do it?
I think I would.
Yeah, I think I would.
Because now I'm too intrigued.
Yeah. I guess the fact that it's not actually breast milk, I think I could. If it was actually breast milk, I'm like, I don't know if I feel comfortable.
I don't know. Our mutual friend Danica, who's just had a baby, has...
You drink her breast milk?
I don't drink her breast milk. I don't. I like to make that patently clear. But she does have some in the fridge all the time.
Wow.
And she's always offering it to me.
Huh?
Yeah. So, I don't know.
She's generous.
Just the hostess with the mostest.
But yeah, I think A, would try the breast milk flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
But B, I think if you had ice cream put in front of me that was made with actual breast milk,
I think I would try it.
Yeah.
Is that mad?
No, I don't think that's mad too.
I guess I got to ask myself, why wouldn't I try it? Because it's not like it's been sourced unethically. You got to assume that, like, who's ever making it is some crunchy mom who's like, no, but really it's better than cow's milk.
Yeah, I think it's more normal to eat like breast milk ice cream than it is like, you know, people like make meals out of their placenta and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
That's next year.
That's Frida's next marketing stunt. Yeah. Oh, we'll finish with this headline then before we get into our little debate. Student so scared of DIY, he paid tradesman £180 to blank. £180, that could get you 160 cream eggs. So there's a lot of money here.
Yeah.
£180 to do what? What has he paid this DIY man?
And this is coming from a student, did you say? And they have a fear. A student with fear, that could literally be anything at this point. I mean...
Fear of DIY. They're terribly getting wrong. I assume they're renting.
My jump to is build IKEA furniture.
I would pay somebody to do that.
But that is actually a job. Legit. Like you can hire someone to do that for you. So it's got to be something more ridiculous than that.
Oh, God. But then maybe it's the fear of the landlord. I'm putting it down to that. Maybe they're just so terrified.
So something that might affect the property,
you reckon?
Yeah,
maybe that's... Oh,
so I would pay for IKEA furniture.
Fix a cabinet door, like something.
Something like that. What do you reckon?
Change a light bulb, maybe. Really simple.
Yeah. It's not change a light bulb, though. Okay. It is change batteries.
Oh, bless.
He paid £180 to change the batteries in his carbon monoxide alarm, fearing he might get it wrong.
Oh.
Sam from Nottingham said, there are skills that have been lost throughout the years, and it's just not for me.
Oh, wow. Sam.
I know, that's heartbreak. I really do. I feel for him.
He can't afford £180.
No,
he's a student.
Well, maybe he could.
This tradesperson is.
Maybe he's rich.
I was going to say, this sounds like someone who has a very middle class upbringing. Who can't. I can think is I've lived in my own flat for 6 years and I've never once looked at that carbon monoxide thing. So I'm like, maybe I should call a guy and change the battery. I don't think they're working anymore.
Just give it a little test.
Yeah,
it will be very aggressive. It's, We just moved house and I was like, we stole the carbon monoxide monitor from our last house because the landlord said they were going to put a new one in. So I was like, well, if you're not having this one, we'll take it for our house.
Yeah.
And I put it in a box and it was at the bottom of everything. And I kept, as I was moving the box, I was like, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm going to dig it out of the box. And I did it like 3 times. It was so bad.
You needed a guy.
I really wish I'd paid somebody to move. I'm not moving again until I could afford somebody to do like that full moving thing.
Yeah.
You know, like billionaires who like pay for people to recreate their home in like a holiday home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's dream. Until I'm at that level of wealth, I'm staying put.
Nice. And that won't be long. It won't be long for you, I'm
Thank
sure.
Thank you. Are you a DIY? I know your mother's obviously very crafty and likes upcycling. Do you have a DIY instinct?
No, I do not. But I have a partner who's very much accomplished in that department and he takes over, and that's really archaic of me, but I just let him do it because he gets a lot of joy out of it. He really enjoys using his hands.
That's very noble
way,
of you then.
Exactly.
You're gifting him something.
I could figure
it
out, but I'm not gonna.
What about you, Abigail? In your life, who's the DIY?
Oh, definitely my partner. One time I bought some shelves that I wanted to hang in my office and he hadn't hung them. So I was like, I'm going to do it myself.
Yes.
And then I walked downstairs and I was like, you need to rehang the shelves. I put them basically in plasterboard. So they were on and they were straight, but they were also drooping off of the wall because they weren't properly like studded in.
Yeah.
And Tom was like, just next time, just wait for me. But sometimes you ask your partner for help and they don't help you then and there.
Where you need that shelf.
I needed it in that moment.
Is that a very ADHD thing? Like, I've got the executive function to do this right now, so it's happening.
That is exactly what it is. And then I won't want to use it for like 3 months. But it's there now.
Nice. Yeah, at least it's there now. Nice. Well, look, we always end our show with a little bit of a debate. Nothing too highbrow, a very sort of low stakes LBC. And this is from the Metro. Yesterday in the Metro, Gillian Harvey posted an opinion piece saying the high street is dead. Obviously, we talked about this at the start of the show. WH Smith has disappeared, rebranded as TG Jones. Pizza's going from our very eyes. Primark under fire. Is the high street dead? Do you go into town to shop anymore? If you do, what's your favourite shop? What entices you out? Yeah, look at it.
Oh,
stunned silence in the studio. Nobody.
Well, I mean... I had never done an online grocery shop until the pandemic. And now I'm like, that's the best way to do grocery shopping. However, I do like, I like going into a shop. There's a little bookshop in Kentish Town called Owl Bookshop that is an independent shop I really like. But if we're talking chain shops, I like going into Superdrug and looking at the makeup. It's like, for me, it's like going into a fancy department store, but it's Superdrug because that's what I can afford. And I look at all the Elf brands and stuff like that.
Something that's a bit of an experience.
I like going out into the world. I do. It makes me sad that the high streets are having trouble.
Yeah, I think the younger generations just aren't going out as much. What about you, Leah? Is there
I'm not really an online shopper. I'm really staunchly against Amazon, and I don't even particularly know. I don't think they miss me in any way. But I would much rather go to like a Poundland and have and try and find my like glue stick or whatever it is that I need rather than go to Amazon. I just miss Wilkinson's, which for me was just, you know, Wilko's was the queen of a mooch on a Wednesday afternoon.
I have never been in a Wilkinson's before, so can you explain to me, is it like a hardware shop?
Oh, so much more.
Go on, Andrew.
It's like Home Bargains and B&M and Woolworths and everything. And Poundland. They've just got everything. They've got hardware. They've got paint. They've got bathroom stuff. They've got nothing now, sadly. But yeah, it was a bit
of everything. They had pick and mix.
This is where the Woolworths... Did you ever experience Woolworths?
No.
Oh, my goodness, So this the golden age of the high street really is over now, I'm afraid. Woolworths was like famous for its pick and mix, and you hear a lot of British people talk very fondly of those days.
I like those little pound shops that aren't like a Poundland. They are independently owned. They're like haberdasheries, so you can go in there and get a drill, a colander, and a vape pen. Like, you can get all three. There's one on my high street that's probably the size of this room that has everything in the world you would ever need.
Beautiful.
It's probably more expensive, but again, I like going, I like touching things. I like
same. Couldn't agree more.
My favorite mooch shop is TK Maxx. It's sort of like a corporate charity shop. The same sort of like discovery, like, oh, what are we going to find today? Well, look, it's been so delightful to have you both in the studio. Hopefully when you're on tour at Abergele, you can go and explore some of the high streets in Bath, Bristol, Birmingham, Manchester, Pocklington. And if you want to go see Abergele on tour, I highly recommend you do at Abergele, A-B-I-G-O-L-I-A-H on Instagram. Also just follow because you do amazing content. You've got a podcast, Neurodivergent Moments, with the brilliant Joe Wells. So go check that out. Leah is at Leah H Davis S, so LEAHHDAVISS. Or go check out Leah's radio show on Capital Extra, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. most weekdays, and then Sunday afternoon. So take your pick, whatever kind of person you are, night owl or afternoon plodder, just go along and check out Leah. She's fantastic. And also go see her wherever you can gigging. We first met at the British Comedian of the Year final, and you were excellent, top class. Thank you to Eugene Merman as well for joining us. He's at the Soho Theatre, 15th to the 18th of April. Make sure you go check out him. That's a very rare little trip over to the UK, so don't miss out. Thank you to Kieran and Yasmin in the production booth. You can follow at FUBAR Radio for all your radio needs. I'm at Stand Up Andrew. I am also going on tour later this year. Details to be announced. I am going to Edinburgh as well. I've got 2 weeks in Edinburgh, so make sure you go check that out. StandUpAndrew.com for all those. This is also a podcast. Please subscribe, rate, tune in each week. We appreciate your support, and we'll see you next time.